Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing, available 24/7 at backgroundbriefing.org. And joining us now is Michael Hiltzik, who is a Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter and columnist at the Los Angeles Times. He received the 1999 Pulitzer Prize for articles exposing corruption in the entertainment industry and currently writes the twice-weekly column Golden State, which covers business and economic issues. And his books include Colossus, Hoover Dam and the Making of the American Century, and The New Deal, A Modern History. And his latest article at the Los Angeles Times is Reducing Healthcare Costs Doesn't Require Bezos, Buffett, Diamond Magic. Every other country already knows how. Welcome to Background Briefing, Michael Hiltzik.
It's good to be back with you, Ian.
And the announcement by Amazon, JP Morgan Chase, and Berkshire Hathaway that they were teaming up to create a new healthcare system or a partnership was pretty thin on specifics. How much did you learn from it, apart from the fact that you have some serious criticism, which we want to get into, but in general, what did they deliver in terms of specifics?
Well, I would say they delivered a press release, and there are no specifics. I mean, there's some mention of things like, they're going to create a joint venture, an independent joint venture company that will be, from what we can tell, nonprofit, and that it will focus on technology solutions to bringing down or limiting healthcare costs, but that's pretty nebulous and it's pretty thin gruel as these things go.
So one of the things that I don't understand is I understand that corporate America has for the longest time been concerned about out of control healthcare costs for their employees, and at one point, the big three automakers were thinking of moving a lot of their work across the river to plants in Canada that they already have, because the Canadians have a single-payer healthcare system, and that saves these corporations an enormous amount of money, and which, frankly, is one of the best arguments for single-payer, which I'm surprised that corporate America doesn't get behind. But what's to stop corporate America, for example, of enrolling their employees in Kaiser?
Well, nothing, and many corporations do enroll their employees in Kaiser. I mean, my employer offers us Kaiser as an option. Kaiser's really not for everybody because you have to be within striking distance of a Kaiser hospital if you want to use it, and not everybody even in Southern California can say that. Some people don't like Kaiser. Some people think that it's not the best health care. There's some debate about that. It's certainly cheaper. And in many ways, it's more efficient, but nothing is preventing them from doing it. Nothing's really preventing the United States from spending half as much as we do per capita or as a percentage of the gross domestic product than we do, except essentially for the political will to make the changes that are necessary. But these changes are not a mystery.
But just going back to the big three automakers, wanting to move their production to the plants that they have across the river in Canada. Surely that's a signal, isn't it, that, and that was a while back, that they're concerned about their spiraling healthcare costs. Why has it taken so long for them not to, I think the only encouraging thing that I see from this joint statement by Amazon, JP Morgan Chase, and Berkshire Hathaway is at least some of these big corporations are getting together to figure out an alternative, not that, as you point out, the rest of the world has already done that. But what's preventing corporate America from doing what seems obvious, to either get together or lobby for single payer, which is why the big three were moving to Canada, because it saves them an awful lot of money?
Yeah, I think what prevents them from doing that is the same thing that prevents these three companies, Amazon, JP Morgan, and Berkshire Hathaway, from actually taking the bull by the horns and being more candid about what creates these high prices. They do not want to get involved in the politics of healthcare in the United States, which are very, very messy. And the reason the politics are messy here is that we've allowed a lot of interest groups to get very wealthy and to exercise their political power. And we're talking about drug companies and hospital chains and physicians and medical device manufacturers and health insurance companies. They all All of these entities have an interest in keeping the system exactly as it is because they all profit from it, and I would say they all over-profit from it or profiteer from it. I think, you know, Buffett and Jamie Dimon of J.P. Morgan and Jeff Bezos of Amazon, they don't want to get their hands dirty by getting into this sort of political fight. So they're creating the sense that this is all about technology and that there's some sort of mysterious secret sauce technological fix that will change the American healthcare system in a dramatic way. And I think, I mean, I'll give them the credit to say, you know, maybe they believe that, but it's simply untrue. They're blowing smoke, and the evidence for that is the fact that just over the border in Canada, they spend, these are figures from 2015, in Canada they spend $4,600 per person on health care, whereas in the United States we spend $9,400 per person. There's no technological reason for that sort of discrepancy. The reason is political, and it's an exercise of political power that keeps these prices high. We charge too much. Insurance companies take too much out of the system. Hospitals charge too much. Drug companies charge too much, much more than they really deserve. And when you add all that up, you end up with $9,400 per person spending, as opposed to Canada's figure, or even the average figure among all other industrialized countries, which is $4,900. You know, so we're really talking about 50% to 60% over the entire industrialized world compared to what we spend in the United States. And as the point I made in this piece is that there's no mystery to this. There's no mystery to how to bring costs down. The way to do it is to cut prices, unit prices. Americans don't use more health care than people in other countries. In fact, in many ways, we use less. We spend less time in the hospital. We get admitted to the hospital at a lower rate. We use about as much in terms of pharmaceuticals as other countries, but we pay twice, three times, four times, maybe five times more than other countries. That's what drives up these costs.
Well, just perhaps, not that I'm justifying Bezos, Buffett and Dimon, their sort of timidity here and the lack of specifics, but they may be being cautious because even though they delivered basically what you say is, Michael, as a press release rather than a plan, Cigna and Anthem both dropped 5% on the market, and CVS and Walgreens declined more than 4%, etc. Some of them also, the pharmacy corporations dropped nearly 7%. So already it sort of rattled the markets a little bit, didn't it, this announcement?
Yes, it did, but I don't think that has anything to do with whether anybody really thinks, you know, has put in the deep thinking to say these guys are going to have the secret. I think it's basically a knee-jerk reaction. I think it will evaporate over the near term. I think what some of these, what investors in some of these companies are more concerned about is that Amazon and Berkshire, which already has a reinsurance company in the healthcare field, and maybe JP Morgan, will get involved in their industries not as nonprofits, but as profit making entities and will take some of their business away. I don't think that's very realistic, but look, these are three very big companies. These are three very well-known executives. Amazon certainly has a record of disrupting existing industries. Berkshire is very smartly run enterprise, really a conglomerate. So I think it's not unreasonable for investors in healthcare to say, well, now that there may be new entrants into this field who are going to take some of our business away. But I don't think this is really a reflection that people think that these guys are going to have a secret or they're going to figure something out that nobody else knows. I think it's a different phenomenon that accounts for the fact that these stocks went down. And, you know, it's, as I said, I think that that trend will vanish over the next probably just a few days.
Well, without getting into a critique of the State of the Union, which, you know, was extraordinary. Trump, on the one hand, talking about how much he loves Dreamers, and then basically issuing a kind of racist manifesto about how we want people from Norway in the country. And then the warmongering vis-a-vis North Korea. He clearly wants a war with North Korea. It was just appalling. But what I was most struck by in that speech, and it just mystifies me, and it really makes me question how much the minds of Americans have been warped about healthcare, was when Trump talked about how he's gotten rid of the individual mandate and crippled Obamacare, to these massive applause from the Republicans. Here they are cheering because they have successfully denied their fellow citizens health care. That is not something to cheer about.
No, and of course their attempts to eviscerate the Affordable Care Act, it really strikes at not only the customer protection aspects of the Affordable Care Act and the success that the Affordable Care Act has had in getting insurance to people who didn't have it before, but it undermines a lot of other provisions of the act that were aimed at changing the ways we pay hospitals and physicians to make it more efficient and to lower those prices. And some of those initiatives that are in the ACA have actually been very successful. And to the extent that Trump and his Republican handmaidens are out there trying to undermine it, they're undermining exactly what we need to get lower prices. But they don't think in those terms. You know, they're looking ahead to the taillights of the car that's right in front of them, and they see these all of this in strictly partisan and ideological terms. So they don't know anything about health care. I mean, Trump doesn't know anything about health care. The average Republican in Congress, he doesn't know anything about health care. It's a complicated field, and there are a lot of moving parts, and you actually have to spend some time studying it to know what you're doing. So they're basically taking the easy way out.
Right, but to have a mindset in a country, at least to have the ability to find receptive number of Americans who think that it's a good thing to deny health care rather than to make it affordable, is just mind-boggling. And that's what I kind
of
get my head up.
I don't think they have successfully done that. I think what we saw during this long campaign of theirs to repeal Obamacare is that Obamacare actually had a majority of Americans in support, and those Americans came out in force, and that's why Congress was unable to actually do a straight-up repeal of Obamacare last year. And what they eventually had to do is do this sort of sub rosa backdoor repeal by eliminating the individual mandate. And, you know, as I've written in the last few days, it's that very well is likely to result in 30% increases in premiums in 2019 for millions of Americans, and you know, the chickens will come home to roost. But when they had a full-on, straight-up, frontal attack on Obamacare, they got an enormous amount of pushback, and they failed. So I think most Americans, certainly Americans who've had experience with trying to get health insurance in the individual market, are very much in favor of the consumer protections that were in the Affordable Care Act and want them to stay.
And again, I'm speaking with Michael Hilsig, who is a Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter and columnist at the Los Angeles Times. He writes the twice-weekly column Golden State, which covers business and economic issues, and his books include Colossus, Hoover Dam, and the Making of the American Century, and The New Deal, A Modern History. And his latest article at the Los Angeles Times is Reducing Healthcare Costs Doesn't Require Bezos, Buffett, Diamond Magic. Every other country already knows how. But I still don't understand why. I mean, again, it's a bit like what Lakoff up there in Berkeley talks about, the lack of framing on the left, where the right is able to frame things like death tax and stuff like that, or tax relief, which if you're not in favor of tax relief, you're therefore in favor of tax pain. And, you know, pro-life versus pro-choice. Many ways arguments are framed detrimentally. The net neutrality is another one that's a really amorphous loser of a title for a cause. And I don't understand why the single payer, of course, is yet another one. It doesn't say anything. And is there a way for the advocates of single payer to make the simple case that insurance companies are an unnecessary layer between the caregiver and the patient? And if you pool your money, then you don't need them. They're kind of like the mafia. They don't bring anything to the table except expense, and the markup in expense equals their overhead, and this is completely economically unsustainable. So to me, that gets at the heart of it. As long as you're nibbling at the edges like the Clintons tried to do and like Obama did, you're never going to get these people out of the way. And that's the problem, is the insurance companies are the worst people to be in the healthcare business because they're only interested in healthy people. That's where they make their money. They're not interested in sick people because that's how they lose money.
Well, I think I sympathize with your perplexity, Ian, and to a certain extent I share it. But I think you have to think in terms of sort of the ground level politics of healthcare, and I think what's most important to keep in mind is that most people, the vast majority of people, have very little interaction with the healthcare system, and that's because the normal default condition of most people is health. They're healthy. 20% of the population accounts for 80% of spending on healthcare treatments, and that's an immutable figure that's always been there and is always true, and I think is inescapable. And as a result, the average person really does not deal with his health insurance company very often. And even more rarely in a way that's frustrating, and that would be, you have a major claim, maybe you have a condition that's hard to figure out, then you might have a lot of trouble dealing with your health insurance company. For the most part, people have a fairly smooth relationship. I mean, we don't think of it that way because most of the stories we hear are horror stories, but they represent a very small portion of the population. And as a result of that, when you tell people we are going to change the way this works, most people get nervous because they think it works okay for them. And I think that's what accounts for the fact that single payer, in theory, is popular among the American public. But when you get down and start talking about the details, it loses a lot of popularity because people have to start thinking about, how is this going to work for me? Am I going to lose my coverage? Is it going to be different? Am I going to have to pay for it differently? Am I going to have to jump through different hoops? All of these things that are very uncertain really militates against the simple framing. It's much easier to say, there's one thing that doesn't work about the system, so the whole system stinks, and that's the Republican approach. So it's going to take time, I think, to really get this message across. And I think what's going to have to happen is that things are going to have to get worse before they get better, and the Republicans are doing their best to make things get worse. And eventually, there will be a reaction. I think single payer is politically more palatable today than it was a year ago, but it still needs a lot more work and a lot more support. So it's not obvious and it's not easy.
Well, Michael Hiltzik, I thank you very much for joining us here today.
My pleasure.
And again, I've been speaking with Michael Hiltzik, who is a Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter and columnist at the Los Angeles Times, where he writes the twice-weekly column Golden State, which covers business and economic issues. And his books include Colossus, Hoover Dam and the Making of the American Century, and The New Deal and Modern History. And his latest article at the Los Angeles Times is Reducing Healthcare Costs Doesn't Require Bezos, Buffett, Diamond Magic. Every other country already knows how. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program is available for podcasting at backgroundbriefing.org. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.